WHL on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Norton, Don Davenport, looking through our mentions at some of the coaches y'all are throwing at us. It's already
some of the gifs. I'm looking at a hippo going to the bathroom in my mentions right now, and I'm like, "Yep, Tennessee coach in search 2021." Yeah. Here we are.
The Adam Gase taco meme is out. It's Tennessee coaching season. Man. Coaching search season. Chris Lowe joins us now. Chris, today's news, certainly not a surprise, but I think from a Tennessee fan perspective, probably a good chance to take a deep breath and just move forward. But man, what a day. Pruitt fired for cause, two assistants fired for cause, seven other staffers fired. I mean, Tennessee went after itself.
And, you know, in my lifetime, I think this is the hardest and really the most convincing self, Brent, a self penalty, you know, spanking yourself the way Tennessee has that I can ever remember. I mean, there have been self-imposed penalties over the years.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like this. It's widespread. I mean, the chancellor used a couple times the word stunning. I think she said the number of situations, the number of people, the number of violations. I tell you the other word that jumped out to me, and I think this is probably the scariest for Tennessee fans for what may lay ahead as far as the NCAA repercussions. But she used the word conceal. And I think we know, having looked at cases over the years, as far as the NCAA is concerned, and clearly they're involved now, most of the time, the crime, the quote-unquote crime, the alleged crime, in the eyes of the NCAA, is not nearly as bad as any kind of perceived cover-up or trying to conceal things. But that's one of the things in listening to her press conference today that jumped out to me, when she said not only were there multiple violations by multiple people, multiple staffers, that they tried their efforts in concealing things. I don't know about you guys, but that really jumped out to me.
Yeah, I wrote down a few things from what she said in terms of her remarks. And again, we're going to play a lot of that in the 6 o'clock hour here on 104.5 The Zone. But that's what stuck out to me about what she said. I wrote down, she said, what's disturbing is the number of violations and the number of people involved. She also pointed out that people involved tried to hide their actions from compliance. And that's the thing. Now, and I say this facetiously, but you know those cards that Oregon holds up to call plays and they have pictures on them? I would go outside the NCAA office with one of those big cards, and all four of the slots would be a picture of Will Wade and how he's still coaching at LSU, and go, look, we did this, they did that. Thanks for the, you know, pat on the back. We'll be moving on now. Nothing to see here.
Which is a reminder, Brent, that all cases, all investigations, all situations involving compliance matters are never the same. I mean, remember this. Somebody reminded me today. You go back to the Ole Miss case, you know, when they were placed on probation and got a postseason ban. People forget Ole Miss was not going to fire Hugh Freeze. They stuck with Hugh Freeze to the end. They didn't fire him because of NCAA issues. They fired him because of the phone call, you know, the escort service. That's what got him. They stuck with him to the very end. So everybody's different. I mean, we don't know, you know, we're not privy to everything that Johnny Plowman, the Tennessee legal counsel, has right now. You know, I mean, I was told today by somebody inside that should know that there were, in their words, a ridiculous number of level violations. Ridiculous, the word that was used to me. So we don't know what they have, what they don't have. Clearly, they're landing all at Jeremy Pruitt's feet, saying that he had a staff that he did not manage, didn't monitor. All these things were going on his watch. He should have known, didn't know, didn't take the time, the due diligence to know. That's basically what Tennessee's saying. And because of that, you know, they're going to be hit with, I think Tennessee fans need to be brave. They're going to be hit with some pretty severe sanctions. You know, I would say at least a one-year postseason ban. I don't know how many scholarships, but I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Chris Lowe with us from ESPN.com, at CLowe ESPN on Twitter.
You talk about the possible NCAA sanctions that will happen, you know, 1 year postseason ban, all of that. Kevin Steele named as what, the acting head coach right now. But where does that put Tennessee as far as making the move for a next hire? And they've said they're going to hire an athletic director first, which obviously is the right decision there. But I mean, we're talking probably time here. And what kind of I guess, reaction will, you know, possible NCAA sanctions have, or what kind of say will that have on who your next head coach is?
Well, Don, you know, the recruiting class is pretty much done because you get most of that done in the early period.
Right.
So I think you got to, as you said, you got to hire an AD because the next football coach is going to work for the AD. If you did it backwards, you hired a football coach and an AD, I don't know that that's really going to work or realistic. So, but I think they'll do it pretty fast, the AD. I don't think something's going to drag out for too long. But you find an AD that you're comfortable with, that's run their shop before, that has some ties to the SEC, and then you let them make a decision on the head coach. You want to certainly have one in place pretty quickly, but I don't think you just try to, you know, ramrod anybody in there either as head football coach, because you're already past, you're already in a weird time anyway to hire a coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you got to get one in the next 3 days or 4 days. I don't think there'll be a huge line of store. I've used this once before. I'll use it again with you guys. Remember the old Pitino line that Larry Bird, Robert McHale, and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish aren't walking through that door?
Yeah.
I don't think Parcells and Belichick and Urban Meyer are walking through the Tennessee coaching search door. And of course, I'm being facetious. I just don't think you're going to get a lot of established Power 5 coaches because of what's coming down the pike with NCAA sanctions, because of just what a wasteland Tennessee's been in football now for the last 10 years. I mean, think about it. Look at it, and I know, you know, me being a Tennessee graduate, and sometimes I'm guilty of this, you look at it more through Tennessee eyes, but look at it from 30,000 feet away right now. If you've got a job in the Power 5, you're making good money, you're happy where you are, why are you going to get involved in this mess right now? So, especially at a weird time to do it, to move jobs. So, I don't think there's going to be just a huge pull of candidates knocking at this door, which is why a guy like Kevin Steele, I think, probably has a realistic chance. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's the leader or he's the guy that's probably going to get the job, but I do think, given his background, the fact he's a Tennessee guy, he knows the SEC, he's worked for so many great coaches who think so highly of him, that he will have a shot. Probably should have a shot, but there'll be others. There'll be some people that, some coaches, you know, guys that see this as a chance to get into the SEC, return Tennessee to its past glory, even though you're going to be fighting an uphill battle with the NCAA issues and some of those things. But it's just hard for me to believe that you're going to get a lot of established guys are interested. I mean, even a guy like Billy Napier at Louisiana. Billy's done a terrific job. He's a really good football coach. But go back and look at the jobs he's already turned down. He's been really picky. Really picky. So it's hard for me to believe that, given that he's going to come to Tennessee. I tell you, if I'm Tennessee, you guys are going to laugh. I certainly call down to the 662 area code in Oxford and at least see if our buddy Lane Kiffin's interested, because I bet you he would at least listen.
I mean, I think he was interested last time, so I don't see why he wouldn't be this time.
And let's be clear here, okay? I'm not saying Lane Kiffin has called and said he's interested, all right? But just knowing Lane as I do, people around him, I bet you he would certainly listen and see what Tennessee was talking.
Because I don't know, Chris. When you say stuff about Lane Kiffin, man, I remember, you know, all those trips to Boca. I'm going to pay attention when you say stuff about Lane Kiffin.
You know, I'm still mad at Lane that he left FAU because I love spending time down at Boca.
Right. Hey, so to follow up on that, Chris, just with that the Lane conversation and all of that, because here's where I look at it. I look at Ole Miss and I say, okay, you've got big pieces there. Look at what they did offensively. That defense, let's be honest, can't be much worse than it was this past year. And they were able to, you know, come within 15 of Alabama, and they had some wins and trajectory up and up and up there. And then I look at Tennessee, and I have two questions for you. So why would Lane leave Ole Miss for Tennessee at this point? And two, is this Tennessee job still a top 25 job in the country? Or let's narrow it. Is it a top 15 job in the country? Because I think if Lane Kiffin were to leave to go to that job, it would have to be, you would have to consider it that. But stepping back, and like you said, 30,000 feet, I don't know if it is. I want your take on it.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think Lane would ask all the questions you just asked, you know, before he ever even thought about coming back. And you know, Ole Miss just re-upped with him recently, got a new deal. I know he likes coaching down there, but I still think Lane enjoyed his time at Tennessee. Maybe he enjoyed his time at Tennessee a little too much. But he enjoyed coaching at Tennessee.
Careful.
Certainly his dad, Monty. Monty has told me many times they should have never left Tennessee. And they, you know what? I've had enough conversations with Lane. They would not have left had it not been USC. That was about the only job he was going to leave for. But I think right now he still looks at Tennessee as a job where he feels like he could come and win at the highest level. I don't know how many coaches, Dawn, to answer your question, around the country look at it that way. But I also don't think it would be a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination. He would come because of all the reasons you just said. He's got it going down there. You're right. We're really bad on defense. Boy, they were fun to watch and explosive as heck on offense. He's got a great quarterback coming back. So there would be a lot of reasons for him to stay there. But what I'm saying, and again, I want to reiterate, I'm saying from Tennessee's perspective, why do you not call and at least make that pitch and see Absolutely. How interesting he would be? I think you'd be foolish not to.
I would personally love that.
I think a lot of Tennessee fans would.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about a lot of different coaches. And why not this guy? Why not that guy? A lot of them are pipe dreams. Let's just hope John Gruden's name doesn't come up, okay? That's the only thing where I'm drawing the line. If John Gruden's name comes up again, I'm done. You know, we're just going to quit talking about Tennessee football.
I think
a guy like Lane would be a guy if they're not going to ask me, nor should they. But who do you talk to? Who do you kick the tires with? If you realistically, like, are they going to call Mike Gundy for the third or fourth time? You know, I would hope not. But Lane would be a guy if you're going to kick the tires with somebody that maybe is a little bit of a long shot. I think he's certainly worth kicking the tires for.
I mean, Mike Gundy, how much money has Mike Gundy made off Tennessee searches?
Mm-hmm. It's about that time, right? We're every 3 years.
Yeah.
He's certainly been in play at a number of them. But, you asked me, I didn't finish answering your question, Dawn. I think when you look at Tennessee's job, yes, this is a top 25 job. Is it a top 15 job? I think traditionally, historically, Tennessee is a top 10 job, a top 12 job, a top 15 job, but it's not an easy job right now. And a lot of it's timing. You know, when Fulmer had it going, it was a great job, but the landscape was different. You know, you look at all the coaches around Tennessee now and the fertile recruiting areas, Kirby in Georgia, Dabo's got it going in South Carolina, Nick's got it going everywhere. I mean, everywhere he wants a player, Tennessee, Georgia, Louisiana, he goes and gets those players. It's harder right now to recruit at Tennessee than it's ever been. Even Mack Brown over North Carolina, you know, he knows every high school coach in that state. I think right now, especially with the way Tennessee struggled and the NCAA penalties coming, and then you look at their geographic recruiting difficulties, this is probably a harder job than it's probably been in a long, long time.
Chris, let's go back to the AD search. Chris Lowe from ESPN.com. Obviously, that's going to happen first. We've all talked about that. What are some of the names out there? A Mark Ingram, a John Gilbert? Does Gerald Harrison get in the mix?
Well, all three of those have Tennessee ties, and I think that's important. I don't think it's necessarily a prerequisite, but and I know all three of them pretty well. Gerald Harrison, Mark Ingram, John Gilbert. I think they all have their strengths. I think they all – here's what's important to me, okay? Not that I have necessarily vested interest, but having lived in Tennessee for a long time, being a graduate, getting somebody that really wants to be there, that understands the place, that has a feel for the place, that's vested in Tennessee. And I think all three of those people that you mentioned, Mark Ingram, in no order, Mark Ingram, Gerald Harris, John Gilbert, do. I think Gilbert's the guy that maybe has a little bit more of a, I would say, more of a deeper understanding of the SEC because he worked at Alabama very closely with Nick Saban. Of course, then he was at Tennessee under Dave Hart. But, you know, Gerald came up through the ranks in Tennessee and really knows that place inside out. Mark Ingram played there, you know, has had a lot of good, you know, a lot of experience at several other places. Desiree Francois is another name. She's at UNLV now. She was at Tennessee for a while. I think she's at Virginia Tech, too, for a while. Those are some names that we've heard, and I think ultimately you're going to hear some other ones. The search firm, Parker Search Firm, is well versed in these kind of searches. I bet you they're already on some names and talking to some people, but I would expect they'll do this pretty quickly. And really, this is one that you probably need to get done pretty quickly because you want to move forward from there and trying to figure out who your head football coach is going to be.
What about a David Blackburn? Does he get in the mix again this time?
Well, he's another one that certainly has Tennessee ties, loves Tennessee. And really, when he was at Tennessee, you go back to some of those, you know, after Coach Dickey left, some of those years where they needed somebody to sort of be the glue, somebody who understood and could manage coaches. Coaches are hard to manage, man. They all want to push the envelope. And the last thing Tennessee wants to do right now is bring in anybody that's not completely by the book and can't manage coaches, isn't strong enough to manage coaches given what they're facing right now. And DB was the best at that. He's gone on now and worked at, you know, was at Chattanooga and out Biddle. So he would be certainly a guy that I would look at too. I don't know the fact that he's not a running his own shop right now. I don't know in the eyes of the people who are going to make the decision if that would count against him, but certainly you could make a case for him being the running at without question.
Chris Lowe, on the way out here, if you look back to SEC media days in July of 2019, 8 of the head coaches that were there have now been fired. Is this just all a product of two words, Nick Saban?
I tell Nick, you know, when he's in the mood to joke around that he's single-handedly has put a lot of money in the pockets of coaches who are being paid not to work. Because you're right. I mean, you think about all the people. I looked this up recently. I think it was before this season dawned. The number of coaching changes in the SEC since he was hired at Alabama in 07 is staggering. And everyone's trying to – and then you know what? That may be the problem. Everyone's trying to be – they're trying to replicate Nick Saban and what Alabama is and what they've been under him. And maybe schools need to sort of do what they do and who they are. I said that earlier on the Five Bomb show about Tennessee. Tennessee, they don't need to try to be Alabama or anybody else. They need to get back to trying to be Tennessee. And I think a lot of schools probably can take a lesson from a lot of these guys. And I think part of the reason that some of the Saban proteges haven't worked is they try to go out and be just like Nick Saban. Well, guess what? There's only one Nick Saban. And there's never going to be, in our lifetime, there's never going to be another one. But, you know, find what you do. Find a fit for your school. What works at your school. People that want to be there. That surround themselves with good people. People that understand the league. Understand what it takes. And Brent, you know this. Don't I? You do too. When Tennessee had it going, when they really had it going, What were the common denominators? And now we've talked about this ad nauseum. Common denominators were you had it perfectly aligned with the Board of Trust, or starting with President Joe Johnson, who in my mind is as good a president Tennessee's ever had there, and understood the value of athletics, the value of the football program, growing your university, and doing it the right way. But you had Joe Johnson, you had Doug Dickey as AD, who was as good an administrator as there was, and then you had John Majors / Philip Fulmer for the better part of 30-plus years as your head football coach. You had solidarity. You had stability. You had everybody rolling in the same direction. And guess what? You won a ton of championships, a ton of football games, and you were elite from a football perspective. They haven't had that type of alignment, that type of solidarity in a long, long time.
Hey, Chris, real quick, the timing of that trip by those coaches to go see Henry To'oto'o with the news that came down today, kind of odd to you?
Yeah, it is. I've already heard from some people that were upset about that. First of all, the trip was already scheduled. They'd already scheduled with Henry and his father. And I think if you pull out at the last minute, you know, you probably make the family mad. Any chance of keeping him, he's your best player, one of your best players, then that becomes a story itself. The age of social media, you know, does it get out then? They're not coming. I think at that point, you're just trying to coach. Or if you're looking at it from the coaching staff and Jeremy Pruitt's perspective, you're trying to do what you can to the very end. So, but yeah, I think in retrospect, when you look back at it, and hey, same thing for Given. And I understand they say this TIF or this investigation started, what they say, it's in November, et cetera. But I think it's fair to question leadership all the way from Don DeClima all the way down. Why do you give Jeremy Pruitt an extension in September if there's any hint or any thought that maybe something might be amiss?
Yeah, they'll say there wasn't at that point, but yep, fair. Hey, good stuff, Chris. Always appreciate the visit, man. People need to check you out, obviously, CeeLo ESPN on Twitter and on ESPN.com. You'll have all the latest. Thanks, bro.
Okay, see you guys.
All right. Thanks, there is Chris. So three things. It's not going to be pretty. Postseason ban, scholarship reductions. He thinks the AD search will get done quickly. And he said, if I'm Tennessee, I call that 662 area code. Lane Kiffin. We'll be right back.